You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In line with our discussion on immigration, I spoke with running candidate under the Migrant and Refugee Rights Campaign, Gael Itamalgoda. Their desire is to increase the refugee quota, full rights for migrant workers, and oppose racist scapegoating. I asked him to explain the current state of immigration within New Zealand.
There's a tendency among parties, both the left and the right, to blame the social and economic problems that are caused by inequality, a system of inequality, on migrants. And it tends to be maybe a way of sort of like avoiding actually explaining the real reason for social and economic problems, like the housing crisis or why wages are being driven down. The reason is because we live in a society that favors the wealthy and that privileges their interests above everyone else's. The housing crisis is caused by profiteering, not by migration. So I think it's wrong and cynical and racist to blame migrants and refugees for these social and economic problems. And many migrants are actually forced into positions of cheap labor. It's very wrong for former Prime Minister John Key to have said that migrants are preferred because they're harder working than New Zealanders. Actually, migrants are preferred by many employers because they're easier to exploit. And when you can exploit a class of the working population, you can actually drive down wages for everyone. So I think the way that all New Zealand workers need to address this issue is not to think about migration caps. That's not really the problem. We should be thinking about uplifting the rights of these marginalized workers who happen to be of migrant origin.
But that was quite a broad answer there. So I might just touch on a couple points. You said that the housing crisis was driven by profiteering. Could you go into a bit more explanation as to why you think that?
Yeah, well, there's no evidence whatsoever to show that migrants are generally buying up houses. I think the problem is that we live in a society that has neglected public housing and has encouraged the wealthy to buy up houses as a means of investment. So, the public housing has been neglected by successive governments. And there used to be a time in New Zealand, of course, when having a house was considered to be a basic right, a basic entitlement of every worker. But we have had governments that are very ideologically committed to the idea that working class people should not expect housing as a basic right. The national government's solution to public housing has been to offer kickbacks to the wealthy, and incentivizing them to buy rental properties, and not a reasonable way of securing people's rights to social housing. Recently, I understand the Environment Court has decided that one of the abandoned housing high-rises in Wellington, the Gordon Wilson flat, considered a nationally protected monument because it's one of the two examples of social housing blocks that the national government has built ever. So I think this is the problem when you neglect public housing and you don't prioritize it as a human need, but instead focus on its exploitability. Then obviously profiteering will take hold.
You also mentioned the exploitation of migrants in the workforce. Do you have any? I'm sure you can't get into detail, but examples of that.
There are examples of that in every sector. I think you will find most studies that have been conducted. There's been a recent study conducted by Ezra, and they found that the Filipino migrant community in the dairy sector is very exploited, and the unions have investigated the state of these Filipino workers and found that many of them are underpaid. There are many underpaid even the minimum wage. There are many who are not provided safety gear. Oftentimes their passports are confiscated. Oftentimes they're living with or at their employer or very close to their employer. They don't have the same freedom of mobility that New Zealand workers generally view as an entitlement. Yet in every sector of the economy, especially in the horticultural, agricultural sector, then in the IT sector, I've personally dealt with people who was underpaid $17,000 in wages, and he was working in quite a white-collar job, and in fact he wasn't being paid for many weeks and had no income. The problem is oftentimes migrant workers don't feel able to reach out to the unions and the organizations that might help them, because they're so tightly bound by their visa requirements to their employers. And if they do speak out and if they do lose their job, then they will automatically be disqualified from working in the country.
This year alone, we've had 100,000 migrants and refugees coming into the country. That's been a lot of concern from political leaders, from what we've seen. Do you have any commentary on that?
We take less refugees per capita than Australia, which is a country that has an appalling human rights record. We have restrictions on refugees, new refugees coming from the Middle East and Africa, which is, in my opinion, an inexplicable and racist policy, given that we are facing one of the great refugee crises in human history, unfolding in the Middle East. Migration isn't, there's no evidence, there's no information to show that migrants are causing pressures on infrastructure or on housing. There is, of course, natural population growth, which a competent society should be able to deal with, but this is not because of migrants. Most migrants who come to New Zealand poor. They don't invest in houses, they don't invest in cars and plug up motorways. So I think what's happening is there's a trend towards scapegoating, which is not helpful and actually obscures the real issues, which are issues to do with inequality, issues to do with privileging the interests of the wealthy, and issues to do with using migrants as a way of driving down people's conditions, which is not the migrants' fault. It's actually the fault of the employers who are empowered to do so by the current immigration and social structures that exist. What we can do and what we should do is actually uplift migrants so that employers can't use them in this way.
So going to different political policies around immigration, what is your opinion on the different ways parties are handling immigration?
Right. Well, I think the National Party's policies on immigration, National Party's obviously promotes itself as quite pro-immigration, because, but I think it's pro-immigration for all the wrong reasons, because they want to be able to bring in hundreds of workers under such schemes as the RSE scheme as a source of cheap labour. And I think former Prime Minister John Key's comments about migrants being harder workers, which are, very cynical, reveals his attitude towards this source of cheap labour. We don't think that migrants should be trapped in a system of cheap labour, and I think that's not something that migrants decide. No migrant comes here and decides how cheaply they get paid. So if you're a working person in New Zealand, you should have the same rights and dignity as anyone else. So we have some severe problems with National's migration policy. Also, its policy of restricting new refugees from Africa and the Middle East, not including emergency quotas, but generally there's been a policy since the early 2000s of having no new migrants from Africa and the Middle East, which is, in our opinion, a racist policy. ACT has a similarly racist immigration policy. It favours the freer borders within the Anglosphere, and we feel that this is not this is blatantly racist, even though ACT quite firmly says that it is not. ACT has obviously a policy of favouring wealthy migrants, and I think it's a sort of soft racism, but sort of neglecting the interests of many Pacifica migrants, I think is of quite concern. Moving on to Labour, well, we are very concerned that a Labour Party, a party of the workers, is calling for caps on migration. And I think one of the most inexplicable things about Labour's policy, or from what I've heard from Labour leaders, is that many of them agree or will agree that migrants are not to blame for such things as the housing crisis, but they still call on caps. So I think that is scapegoating, if that's your emphasis. Also, they've strangely asked for caps on student visas, and students are not people who are in a position to buy houses or buy cars, so they're clearly not the ones who are, you know, there's no way you could reasonably attribute some of these social problems to the poorest of migrants. So I think Labour's immigration policy is quite bad as well, that parties are calling for New Zealand First immigration policy. Well, I mean, we think that it is quite appalling, actually. New Zealand First has a long history of bashing migrants, and I guess nothing's really changed in that area.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.